مين؟ This is podcast is hastily scheduled. We were going to take a week off because I want to do a podcast on the history of the games. Just kind of roll through, like, just start to finish. Just talk about start to finish, start to where we are now, present day. Talk about the different stages of the game, different evolutions of the games, and the open and everything else. But that's going to take. We'll save it for next week because I really want to prepare for it so that I can speak at least somewhat educatedly on not just based on my anecdotal experiences, mm-hmm. because there's some stuff that's happened in the timelines, sectionals, sanctionals, all of that stuff.
Regional, six person, grids. A two person,
yeah,
two person, four person.
And we also want to do an episode on grid. We have a very deep
relationship with grid, mm-hmm. National Pro Fitness League.
The MPFL.
MPFL. Oh, there's an echo. We said.
I just muted you. No. Thank you, Dana. I just happened to look down. I was like, "Ooh, I don't see a mic muted on yours."
Okay. And then we want to do that. It's we want to do the grid thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
About that.
Yeah,
the grid league is still going. I think what we'll do
is a couple spots. We should probably get somebody on.
Yeah, let's get Matt on together.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
The American grid league, especially since people are talking about high rocks,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's something that people are interested in. Grid is got more of a foothold in the, especially in the southeast. But what it grew out of and all the money that we spent, I'm actually pleased to see that it's still going. It is fun as hell. But anyway, so we're gonna do an episode on that. Matt takes some prep time too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything this week, and then he wanted it to me today. Why don't you talk about, why don't you interview Jamie about CrossFit Burn?
Oh, just a throwback.
There's a throwback. That's interesting. A lot of people don't know about CrossFit Burn.
Yeah.
And how that affiliate started, and then how it was, you and I came together and mm-hmm. essentially agreed upon a deal to come together and have you come coach here. And have your members come over here. It was essentially was an acquisition.
I mean, I came over and started as an athlete versus starting as a coach.
Oh, that's
you
right.
wanted me to be a member prior.
Yeah.
So I went through that whole process, got to be familiar with the membership base and attended all the classes.
Yeah.
It's good times.
It was. And quite a few of to give kind of a pat on the back to Jamie, quite a few of his members are still here. This was back in 2010. So anyway, when did you? Well, let's just get right into it. When did you open CrossFit Burn? And did you affiliate right away?
Yes, we opened as an affiliate. We originally opened in June 2010, and I remember because it was like we were getting ready to like the CrossFit Games was approaching. And I was like, okay, we got this time set up. I'm going to go down to watch the games in Aromas. And then it shifted to Carson. So we ended up hooking up a whole projector and played the CrossFit games on the wall for all of our members to come in. And it was a fun experience. We just kind of hang out, got to know some people. Some people brought their friends in. So it was more of like a community day to kind of get going. And that was essentially how we got started, was a little mini event. Watching the CrossFit Games.
And did you have space immediately? Did you rent space immediately?
We did, yeah. Yeah, I remember. So at the time, I was a personal trainer and running like some small group training sessions out of like a local Globo gym, a health club.
Which one was that?
It was Club Sport at the time. Now it's Bay Club.
Yeah.
It was attached to a hotel, which is actually where I originally started. I was working in the hotel room and I was like, I want to get into fitness and always had experience or open or wanted to learn about fitness and been doing a lot of my own stuff prior leading into it. And then I remember talking with one of the wellness directors, Candy Shukin, about what do I got to do to, you know, come over and start training. She's like, sent me a couple little certification things and I just kind of went down the rabbit hole hard. And when my time was available to transition from the hotel to the club, because they were in the same building, but they were two separate businesses. When I came over, I started at the fitness desk, talked to all the trainers, talked to all the members, just kind of got just into that environment. And then from there, studied and went through some certifications and just kind of went down that rabbit hole.
How old were you then?
24, 23.
How did you find out about CrossFit?
One of the trainers. I was racing mountain bikes at the time, cross country, downhill, and one of the trainers said, "Hey, you want to do this workout? It's a 21:59 thrusters and pull-ups." Fran. So, didn't know anything about it, so we grabbed one of those like preloaded barbells that you see like on the rack because it was in the Globo gym.
Yeah.
And we did our pull-ups. We paired up and we did the workout together because there's only one pull-up bar, which happened to be the one squat rack that was available in the gym. Huge 120,000 square foot facility, and there's one pull-up bar in the one squat rack.
Oh, wow.
Oh God, such a trip. But yeah, so we did that workout, and it felt a lot like the end of one of the downhill runs. Like that last little session where you're sprinting to the finish. And at the same time, it kind of reminded me a lot of the intensity and the feel of like a hard wrestling match.
So that was 2010?
That was 2008.
Okay.
I started training there in like 2005 is when I originally started with my personal training stuff.
And so that was your first introduction to CrossFit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was kind of had some questions like, hey, what was that? Like, what are we doing? And he showed me, oh, it's on this website. And we went to main site, right, .com.
Yeah.
And just looking at the programming, I'm just trying to decipher, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You got back squat 5x5. And like, this is also a time when, you know, strength training wasn't really a thing, right? You had like functional training, you're doing all the BOSU balls, you're doing isolated movement patterns. A lot of what you would see now is functional bodybuilding. That was a big thing that we were doing back then. And then another one of the trainers, Nabil,
Nabil owns CrossFit Sweatshop.
The CrossFit Sweatshop, yeah. So he was one of our trainers then. And I think he just, I don't remember exactly how it happened. I might've been on the computer looking at it at the fitness desk. And he came over and was like, oh, CrossFit, you getting into that? And he was commenting on how he'd come to the shed. But yeah, and then from there.
By the way, the shed was Diablo's first location.
Mm-hmm.
2007 is when we opened that location. It literally was a mechanic shed, 700 square feet of space for CrossFit.
So I think this was in 2008. 2007, 2008 is when I kind of started to peek into that, the CrossFit stuff. But yeah, so I lived about 4 minutes on a skateboard to and from the like door to door to the gym. So I would have a lot of my sessions in the morning and then at night. And once I got exposed to the main site, I found the CrossFit Journal. And the hours that I had between my sessions, my clients, I was just geeking out on CrossFit Journal. I just going through all the articles, all the videos, got exposed to the CrossFit Games. And it just kind of opened up my eyes to like, what is another training methodology that I can utilize with my clients. And from there, I had a client, I don't know if you remember Kathy McGraw.
Yeah, I remember Kathy.
Yeah, so she was one of my clients that I was seeing 2-3 days a week. And she actually sponsored me and sent me to my first L1 in 2009. And I was basically kind of doing CrossFit.
She volunteered to send you there.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could learn the methodology so that you could coach it at.
Exactly. She was like, this is something you want to do. Like you've been kind of practicing it and doing it with me, but why don't you go and get some actual exposure and get training on it?
Yeah.
And from there we came back, started it up. And then we had a few programs going on in the gym that were kind of utilizing the CrossFit methodology. Example, Nabil, you know, he had a little bit of a program. We had called this Fit Quest. It was like our version of CrossFit that we would run underneath the stairwell at the facility. Pissed everybody off because we would have to steal dumbbells and weights from upstairs, pulling the rowers down, put it in the elevator to bring it down to the space that we're using. And so it was just, it was a kind of an interesting organic start.
So for people that are, you know, listening or watching, this is the old CrossFit What we saw was basically blog style website.
Yep.
And
yes.
And the workouts were listed. So this was just cool because this date that I'm pulling up, January 28, 2008, Cindy, and then January 29th is great. Man, that's a two great
classics.
Two classics.
Classic. And then you got the total.
Dude, cross the total on Sunday. So what, Sunday with a total into Cindy or Mary into Grace? Like, that's almost like a benchmark.
Week. Yeah. Awesome. What's coming before? Oh, and Nasty Girls before that?
Oh, my God.
Keep going.
Dude, this is an epic week. I need to bookmark this.
I want to say this is probably around, I mean, January 20. Yeah, I was probably trying to start to follow some of this.
And then Snatch 1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the time, like, we didn't have platforms. We didn't have bumper plates. Dusty Salon, he's owner of Danville CrossFit.
Yeah.
He was training out of San Ramon CrossFit at the time, and he was kind of splitting his time between there and club sport. He brought in his own pair of bumper plates. So that was we only had one set of bumper plates that we stored in this little closet underneath the stairs.
Right.
So every other weight that we had to pull from upstairs was like those octagon, you know, the plates with the handles on either end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yes. We were using those with the bumper plates, and God, we were right in between the one of the group exercise classes, like the classrooms, the main basketball floor, and the men's locker room. This was like a little square. It was not marked off. It was a carpeted area, and the eyes that we would get, and just like an unknown. What are you guys doing? We're doing CrossFit. We're doing FitQuest.
I remember doing it over at FitQuest.
FitQuest.
What a name. So he, because I did the same over at Walnut Creek Athletic Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in 2005. And it was just the looks. You couldn't, their weight room was upstairs.
So okay, so you couldn't drop weights.
You could barely even do deadlifts.
Well, that was the reason why we were downstairs, because above, so if you were to go upstairs, you're over the spa.
Right.
Imagine dropping weights right over the top of a spa.
Oh, they would have run up there. So.
Oh, it was over the spa and the locker rooms, which members would not be down with.
So you're getting into CrossFit. You go get your level one. You did your level one in
2009, October 2009. It was in the middle of the week.
And you go to Santa Cruz for that?
No, I went to Yosemite.
Oh, I remember you told me.
I was in Yosemite.
That was really cool. Remember they did a
It was
up
a
there?
Really cool experience.
Yeah, there was a CrossFit affiliate up there.
No, there wasn't.
It was what they do at
we were in the EMT classroom.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Like the fire like when we did so I had for my coaches I had Dave Castro, Lisa and Michael Ray.
Lisa Michael Ray own CrossFit
Flagstaff.
And they run an amazing gym at Flagstaff. They're OGs.
And
they're outdoors people.
We had Tony Budding.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was Tony Budding.
Wow.
And then Miranda was our demo.
Wow. It was Miranda Alvarez.
Yeah, Alvarez.
Who now runs the street parking.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did our event there. And this was... We
that
did.
Awesome. Did you stay up in Yosemite?
We stayed. Yeah, we stayed. My dad and I went up. He was out riding his bike around every time when I was in the classroom. But the first 24 hours, we got dumped on. There was like 9 inches of rain that first day. So when we drove up, it was sunny. You got to drive down into the valley where you get to see like the sheer rock faces.
Right.
And it's bone dry. By the time we got into the seminar, I remember just walking to the seminar, it started to rain. It poured. By the time we got into the second day, the clouds started to rise, and behind the venue or behind the building that we were doing it was the Yosemite Falls. So day one, no falls. Day two, massive falls.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
It was a really cool experience too, because you know, I was so excited into going into this level one because I had consumed all the content through the journal. All their YouTube videos that they had put out there. So, you know, I was geeking out hard. And then to go into that environment to be like, you know, we're in Yosemite. We did Tabata. We did a Fight Gone Bad. And then on the last day when we were doing Murph or Fran. Because
so,
it was.
So for the people that have done their L1s recently, he did Tabata. He did Fight Gone Bad.
I take it back. We did Tabata. Fran, and then Fight Gone Bad the second day.
Yeah, That's what we. So yeah. I remember that too. I
Fran did, the first.
Day. We did Helen, Fran, and then Fargo Mad.
Yeah, that's so going back to bed by the end of the last day, I was destroyed.
I just remember being destroyed when I did mine too. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. I was scared to fight combat.
Yeah.
After doing Fran the Breeze.
But... Yeah. So we didn't actually do the original Fran. So because it was raining so hard and it wasn't a gym, they had a pull-up rig outside. So we would have had to done Fran on like in the middle of like the storm, right? So Castro ended up putting out the push-up Fran. So we went up to the garage where they had like the fire trucks and, you know, the ambulance parked, and we're doing push-up Fran. And I remember Castro getting in my face like, come on, like I'm just going to near failure. And by the time I got back to the canvas cabins, this is where we stayed that night, I couldn't even lower myself down into the bed. I was just like done. Good times.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a super cool experience. After that, coming home and then kind of, you know, sharing that information, sharing that knowledge, and just the overall understanding of what CrossFit was about totally shifted how I was training all of my clients. You know, I was going from the, you know, the sport specific, doing all this, you know, unilateral. I mean, still unilateral is beneficial, but at the same time, we were missing out on so much of the strength components. I didn't quite fully understand that yet. And going into that, clients just loved it. And then we started a program out of it.
Yeah, so you started a program at Club
Sport. At Club Sport. Yeah, Helen Pathis, Helen, Nabil's wife now,
yes.
At the time was the wellness director of the facility. And she kind of helped create this program. She said, Jamie, you want to be a part of this? Like, absolutely. So it was FitQuest. It was me, Dusty Salon. Started this program.
So Dusty Salon left there too. If you look back at some of the OGs, we all have intertwined history.
Yeah.
So Dusty Salon owns
Danville CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit Danville.
Yeah.
No. He owns.
It's Danville. He was at San Ramon CrossFit at the time, coaching kind of part time there, and but I mean,
Sorry, Dusty. I was just trying to remember, was Danville CrossFit or CrossFit Danville?
Oh, okay.
Because then there's CrossFit Danville ATI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe he just goes by CrossFit ATI.
I think it's CrossFit ATI
in Danville.
Yeah. So I mean,
both great shops.
Yeah. He went on to almost podium at the games a couple years ago as a master.
Dusty Salon
is a beast.
He's one
of those unassuming athletes.
Unassuming, phenomenal athlete.
Super strong.
He's really athletic.
Yeah.
Super strong, lanky, wiry strong. Great jumper.
Explosive.
And loves the volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he got to the games as an age grouper a few years back, about 4 years back, I guess.
It was the 35. I think he was like 35.
39. Yeah. 35, 39. He took fourth place in his age group to like Kyle Casper, former games athlete.
Yep.
And two other former games athletes. I think it may have been what's his name? Neil Maddox.
Yep.
And then there's one more. They're all three, like maybe a pan check or something.
Yeah.
But there's three of them were games other than Dusty Salon.
Yeah.
The guy just was perennially always in the running for something.
Yeah. Yeah. We would always go back and forth. We would do training sessions at Club Sport.
So what made you decide to open the affiliate?
So I remember one of my first clients when I started at Club Sport, we were talking and he was like, hey, you know, you should open up a CrossFit gym. Cause I was bitching about how our space was just not respected at all. You know, like I said, our location, we were doing weightlifting and then you'd have like kids just run by and it's like, this is just not safe. And I had a few meetings with the general manager at the time of the facility. And we had talked about, you know, implementing and finding a location where we can actually host and run this program and let it grow at the facility. And he was talking about getting equipment and finding like designated spots or even making designated space. And like a few months later, we had an all trainer meeting and he announced that if you have CrossFit methodologies or if you want to train CrossFit people, and you have members that want CrossFit, they will have to go to a CrossFit specific facility. We're not doing that here. And that was like, all right, I know what I got to do now. And then I went and talked to my buddy, my client, and said, are you serious about trying to open up a gym? And said, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. And we just went on the hunt for a location and found a spot.
Just look for location to rent.
Yeah, we started with 3,500 square foot location, kind of in a weird location, a weird space.
Yeah, you were in
Pacheco.
Chaco.
We're between the freeway and a golf course.
Yeah, which is not actually, I mean, in terms of the space, it's not that because you're off the freeway.
Yeah.
It's easy access.
It was.
And Pacheco is more of an, it's the industrial part of town.
Well, it was on the other side of the freeway of the casino.
Yeah.
So there was always some weird riffraff going on around in that area. But, you know. Hey,
by the way, newsflash, if you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking about going across the gym. Probably a weird
route
going on.
That's true.
Near those because we look for light industrial.
That's true. Yeah.
And the reason why we operate CrossFit's operated in light industrial space is we drop weights.
Yeah.
We need 20-foot ceilings. Yep. To hang ropes.
The big garage doors and running it out of.
CrossFits typically don't work well in retail spaces. Mm-hmm. You know, we've owned one. Diablo owned one in a retail shopping center, and we had to build an extra wall, so the build out was more expensive because we had to build an extra 12-inch thick wall. Adjacent wall so that we wouldn't create noise mm-hmm. for our neighbor. Unfortunately, we had a nice neighbor because he did feel the vibration because he used to laugh about it all the time. Marin,
yeah.
You guys been there 30, 40 years.
He's watched so many people come and go from that building.
Right,
I'm sure.
Here comes the Albatross. He and his wife. And like,
the music blasting.
Yeah, the music blasting. So we look for coffee tents with more light industrial space.
Yeah.
And then here's the other benefit too with that is with CrossFit gyms. No, I can't. I'm not going to put 40 people on a class.
Yeah.
We have a Dell that's a big space.
Yeah.
We cap our classes at 22, and there's a lot of CrossFit that won't even do that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have really good coaches that can handle that kind of size of class. The typical CrossFit gyms are probably like 10 to 14 people per class. Well, when you start to do the numbers and reverse math it, can't afford retail space because you can't put enough people in there.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Well, then you're also messing with the parking situation.
Well, and then on top of you got parking issues. And retail spaces don't typically like it, gyms, for that reason,
mm-hmm.
because we have such high amount of traffic and we take parking spaces.
Yeah.
And in light industrial, what's nice, my traffic in the gym, it comes early in the morning and evening. So if you look at the kind of the flow of mm-hmm. people into the gym, in the mornings when we get parking, that's before 9 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and then after 5 p.m.,
most businesses surrounding is closed.
That helps us get a permit.
Yeah.
We eventually did get one.
Yeah.
Because, most businesses are closed. But retail space,
mm-hmm.
Especially after 5 p.m., that's when they need retail parking.
Yeah.
Gym, you got a gym there that's going to take those spaces?
Yeah. A little bit of a conflict there.
Hey, a little bit of conflict. So if you're a gym owner you're an aspiring CrossFit affiliate owner, you need to think about other places other than retail space.
Yeah.
It is very expensive. Typically, you have to report sales that we did, and they adjust your rent based upon your sales volume.
Mm.
And it makes it a very difficult environment if you have other retailers or another retailer moves in after you move in, and then they start pitching to the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. If you think you're going to get walk-by traffic from retail, it's typically not where your people come from.
No, I remember when we were opening up Alamo, the traffic that we did get was like a lot of the older crowd.
Yes.
And even though like we know CrossFit is for anybody and scalable and modifiable in so many different ways, but all they see is weights going up, dropping down on the ground. Right. There's no treadmills. There's no low impact equipment. There's no machines. So it's like, I can't do this.
People blasting out the door.
Yeah.
Avoiding the garbage trucks.
Throwing kettlebell swing. Yeah, it's
just retail was really not getting it was so expensive.
Yeah.
It was so expensive. So anyway, so that's back to Jake's point, why do you end up in Pacheco
mm-hmm.
in industrial
town?
That's why.
Well, I also didn't want to be too close to you guys.
Yeah,
you know, I was kind of trying to get my own space a little further out, a little closer to the bridge even.
Yes.
The Venetia Bridge. But yeah, so once we
how big was your space you took down?
3,500 square feet. Okay. So we had a good space. We had two roll up garage doors, which was nice.
Yeah, that's
one
really
big
nice.
Bay, two roll up garage doors. We ended up getting
you think about a potential CrossFit person, because we do that. Anybody that does CrossFit, you drive by,
yeah.
And if I drove by there, and I don't care what the hell else was around it, if I drove by and I saw two little gutters, high ceilings, and beams that I can attach them to, that's a great spot.
In.
Completely ignoring everything else.
So here's the space when we first moved in before we signed up. Let's see if I can zoom in on it.
Yeah, that's good. That's, yeah. Lighting in there.
Yeah, we had good lights. We had, I mean, like the ceiling was nice and high. We ended up painting it black, like bottom and like a red top.
Yeah.
I think it was black and red. I'll find another picture later. But yeah, it was one of those situations that when we did close up, we had to repaint the walls. And painting white over black is not chill.
When we had to give the space, well, when Moxie had to, when the new owners said I went there down there and helped them return it, back, we were
bring it back to it.
Yeah, because we were Yvonne and I were still on the lease.
Yeah.
And so we went down there and helped them return it back, and it was a black wall.
Shit.
Man, it was so cool.
Couple of coats. Yeah. So that was a workout.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we had a little office space, which was nice because it was air conditioned in there. Had a space to kind of get away because I was there from 6:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night.
How many of your burn members? Okay, hang on a second. So you started in that opened
2010.
2010. You had a partner.
Had two partners.
And then I guess before we got to, because some of your members, your burn members, mm-hmm. are still members of the album.
Yeah.
How did you get traffic in there? How'd you get people in there?
Word of mouth. So that was one of the things, like one of the partners. So the original guy that I was talking to that kind of helped get this thing going, he brought in another guy who was also a personal trainer and an elite level power lifter. So between the two of us, we kind of knew enough people to kind of get people in the door. And then once we got people in the door, I mean, we ran a really good program. People really enjoyed it. And with word of mouth, I mean, that was one of those things.
What was that?
Zoop.
He remembers when
Burn
came to the
Zoop. Okay. Yeah. It does seem like just
yesterday. We were just looking at pictures saying the same thing.
Quite nostalgic, too.
Yeah. When did you and I got together in 2011?
Yeah, it was 2011. So here, this is how it went. We ran, operated. I was rolling solo pretty much the entire time. I had a couple guys come in and help out with some coaching. Kevin Klink came in. So he came in to help me with some of the evening times because I was getting burned out, man. I was running classes all day, every day. We didn't have an organized on-ramp program. Some of my partners would just send people in and they would just show up and be like, I'm here for class. I'm like, no, you're not. So there was a lot of communication going back and forth between partners that were not lining up. And I think that was a big part of why we didn't continue. But even though we would have people come in, I still leveraged and took the time in between classes to spend with them to, you know, talk about the methodology, take them through a little workout. And we had a little mini startup program, but it wasn't an organized sign up like we have here, right?
Yeah.
So we had, I forget where we were going with that.
With affiliate owners, that's something else when they started. And that was one of the things that I'm still very grateful for is that I had partners in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I super admire people like Jamie and other affiliate owners that try to do it on their own. You have partners, and you have partners in helping them mm-hmm. the day-to-day.
I was the only L1.
And it's brutal. And if you had to, just thinking about that, if you're running classes, because CrossFit was getting popular, so people would start a blog and they'd come to the gym. But if you didn't have an on-ramp system, some way to get those people up to speed, and then you've got experienced members who are all into it, and then you're having to spend time helping the new person not kill themselves.
Yeah.
It's challenging. And then if you're coaching all the classes and you don't have other coaches like picking up some of the classes.
Yeah, so it was long days. But my members were amazing. They totally understood. They wanted to see more people come in. And, you know, a lot of times I would try to I think we ended up nailing down like some specific times where it's like, okay, it's open. So if you have somebody that's interested to come in, have them come in at this time. Otherwise, reach out to me prior so that way we can schedule it out versus like me getting ready to go and have lunch after coaching for 5 hours to have somebody walk in the door. And it's like, all right, I'm not going to turn you away, but I'm just going to kick the lunch off to the side and let's talk about getting you into class.
If you are starting in a field, you can start thinking about starting to spend some time talking to a couple of people.
100%.
Figure out what they did and how they did it and then get an understanding. You're going to grind. And that grind could be a year, that grind could be 5 years, that grind could be 10 years.
And that's something I didn't leverage. I mean, I remember talking with Jeremy a little bit. Before we opened, like very briefly. I mean, I was here for a month prior to that. And that was really primarily to get myself ready for sectionals.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I was at club sport at the time. I had no way to drop weights.
Another reason why I'm grateful for Jeremy, one was programming.
Yeah.
He programmed it. He had the time to do it, program the workouts, and he enjoyed doing it because he was passionate about it. The other thing he had experience with in the karate world.
Yeah. Yeah, like
he knew that he worked in karate studios, so he knew the whole process of like bringing students along. He knew that how to do classes and the different structure of times and those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that basic knowledge, I think, was instrumental in our success in the early days.
Yeah.
I would have been like you.
Yeah, I just tried to just put my head down and grind.
Yeah, I'm a terrible delegator.
And
I would have done the same thing as you did.
Yeah, and when we signed our lease, we signed a 1 year lease.
Okay, that's not bad.
So it was a single year. Yeah.
So you're in it for a year.
Yeah. So
that's another thing, by the way. Don't let your irrational exuberance.
Don't commit to a 10 year.
On your first lease, give yourself some time. Or give yourself an out.
Yeah.
Is what I want to say.
Yeah. So I was operating ultimately solo with a few people to kind of help out that were from within the membership. And when we were getting, February, right? So this was the first year, 2011 was the first year we had an open.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So during that period of time is when things started to kind of slip a little bit between partners. As far as overall trajectory, what our goal is. My ultimate goal is I just want to make people healthy and fit and let it grow organically from that.
Right.
That's just me being young and naive, but that was my ultimate goal. And that's why I got into fitness in the first place. But as we were getting into the open, we started to realize, we had some issues with neighbors and it was an interesting situation because our neighbors got junk.
Oh yeah,
it was literally a dump yard.
Yeah, if you got junk, the franchise.
Yeah,
people would drive around and pick up trash, other people's trash, and take it to the dump.
Yeah, so they would
not always.
Their employees would just whip donuts in the parking lot, and we didn't have a very big parking lot, and it was like loose gravel. So every time they did it, they would kick up rocks. And it's like, hey, I got all my members out here, so we got into it with them. And it was at a point where it's like, all right, we're here for a year. We probably have outgrown the space. I mean, we had full classes to the point where, even pairing up and sharing racks, we were just kind of running out of space.
Yeah.
And we were looking into new locations. And when it got to a point to talk about like, okay, well, what does this look financially? We found a couple really cool spots. And once we started talking about getting a huge loan to do a build out, at that point, I had to put the brakes on because I wasn't going to continue at the pace that I was going. If it wasn't, hey, are we going to get some help in here? Like so-and-so is supposed to get certified, but still hasn't happened. And their priorities were not at the same line as mine were. And once it came up, it was like, all right, we're not going to continue then. So we basically planned to shut it down during the open. We closed the doors 3 weeks prior to the NorCal regional competition.
Had you and I talked yet?
We did. So, okay. This is where I'm coming to. So
this
is all going down. I'm in my own head. I'm, running this gym, trying to take care of my members. And at the same time, trying to figure out what we're going to do with our space, with the equipment. We were looking in other locations with another member that was, we were going to maybe reopen as a separate affiliate. And we spent maybe a month and a half looking for locations and just couldn't nail something down. And then we get to a point where, you know, at regionals, you know, after we had closed the doors, at regionals, we decided, okay, it's not going to work. Like this time for my new partner, it just wasn't looking good. At regionals is when I came by your guys' booth, right? Diablo's team was going, guys were crushing it. And I mean, I knew you guys, you know, just from being here prior, but I remember coming by and saying, yeah, you know, like we're looking to try to find a location. You're like, oh, you know, we're getting ready to open up Diablo Fitness Engineering, trying to sell equipment. It's like, oh, we might actually need some equipment. Actually, didn't find out we weren't going to continue until after regionals. So talking to you about the equipment, and you're like, hey, yeah, you know, anytime we're always looking for new coaches if something doesn't work out. And then after I found out wasn't gonna continue, reached out to you guys and we went and sat down for lunch and talked about some equipment, but also talked about if something didn't work out. And that's kind of what led me to come here afterwards.
So how we structured that deal, by the way, and what we propositioned to Jamie was we were so new at that time, we didn't have capital to just throw at Jamie and his customer base. We knew he's a good athlete. That was obviously very intriguing for us at the time because, you know, we
watching the leaderboard.
Yeah, we were watching the leaderboard.
Same.
We wanted to do it because it was us, it was NorCal CrossFit, mm-hmm. It was TJ's gym, and it was Rockland.
Yeah.
And we had this rivalry going. It was really fun.
Yeah.
It really just made those years so epic.
Yeah.
And we're good friends with all of those guys to this day because of it. But that was part of the deal too, is we're gonna get Jamie as an athlete. And so I thought about it. I'm like, well, he's coming over, he can coach, which is great, but we wanted him to be a member first, which we told him. But the other part was, okay, well, he's gonna bring members because it's incremental business. And I thought about it. I'm like, okay, well, what we can do is we can structure a deal where we give him a good portion of that revenue. As long as I get some revenue to cover the cost of having those members come over. And so we cut a revenue sharing deal where Jamie could come over, collect some income to help keep him going. And then the members are happy, Diablo's happy, and then long term we get, you know, obviously a coach, and then Jamie goes on to open his own business too as well. So that was 2011.
July. Actually, I think we opened in July 2011 and we closed June 2011, or opened July 2010, closed June 2011.
And some of it was great. It's really cool because some of Jamie's equipment is here.
Yep.
Here's some of your platforms are still here.
Are they?
Yeah. We just painted over them.
They were beat up, dude. Those were you still have the mats, the 1-inch mats that are throwing off the floor.
So Jamie, I don't know why. This is a question I want to get answered. Right. So the standard was the standard
for mats and flooring.
Your stall mats was 4x6 mats, 4-foot by 6-foot mats that are 3/4-inch thick. So yeah. Half inch thick mats weren't just
not thick enough.
Oh, Jamie did one bigger. He was outside the norm, so he went to 1-inch stall.
1-inch thick stall mats.
Those sons of bitches are so heavy. Like, it was, like, you pick up one of those mats, and man, you knew you picked up a different mat.
Yeah.
They were stiffer.
Yep.
And thicker. And they were certainly great for CrossFit. But we put those in, and we're like, we want to use these stalls because we've got a lot of space to cover in here. We got to get in here. But it's just like, we had to create these, like, little lips
or shins just to kind of level it out
a lot, unless there's a smooth transition. But there's still a couple of places over there by the GHD. Yep. Where I noticed, like, damn it, this GHD's not level, and I look down, I'm like, oh, there's no burn.
Thanks for the burn. Sick burn.
Yeah, so some of Jamie's stall mats here, so he brought his equipment over, and then his customers came over. How many of your customers are still here today, you think, your burn customers?
I would say probably like 8 to 10.
That's what I think.
And there's still a few that come and go. There's still a few that come and go. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, yeah, they do. They come in, they go.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 15 years.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable.
Yeah. I just had the memory pop up my Facebook. It was a 14-year-old picture. It's like, it's been 14 years already.
Well, that's what kind of prompted this podcast.
Yeah.
Because he wants all that.
Yeah.
How much time do you have to leave my burn? A lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
So he had a website and he had all that stuff. And then we showed you that picture. That was that was your crew. With, let me see. Let me pull that back up. This is cool. And you had a graphic done there too.
Yeah. Yeah. One of our members brought somebody out. It was actually
Tim, was it the same guy that did ours?
It was the same guy that did Jason Kalipa's NorCal CrossFit.
Okay.
She found the artist and had him come out and do a burn mural for us.
Yeah, that's cool.
That sucked painting over, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Painting over that. Yeah, it sucked painting over because we had a spray paint mural too.
But yeah.
So that was Kalipa's guy. Yeah, we all shared these kinds of, these are the things we shared on the message board.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It's interesting. I recognize some of these people here on this.
Yeah, you got Rex.
Yeah,
Brittany. Brittany's right there.
Yeah, Brittany. Yeah. Brittany's in there. Brittany's a CrossFit burn.
Yeah, Lauren, her brother Andrew Mraz.
Yeah, and then Myra's.
Myra. There.
Yeah.
Kevin Klink was the guy in the top left.
Yeah, I remember Kevin.
Yeah, Rex, not Rex. Forrest, he's over there with Myra.
Almost everybody in there is still CrossFit.
Yeah,
sure. And it just gets into your blood, and then you can't. You know, it's not out.
Yeah.
So he came over, and then Jamie worked his way into head coach, and then eventually programming, and then now owns a programming company, PRs all day, and sells programming to Gyms Around the World, and to Diablo, he sells back to Diablo, which is cool. And then he also has coaches that provide custom programming. Mm-hmm. He does custom programming mm-hmm. for athletes.
That kind of developed just on its own through, I think it was maybe like 6-7 years ago. We had people, yeah. I want to do something more specific towards this, or I want to work towards this. And so, okay, well, maybe we can build out a program where we can provide that stuff and still try to keep it in line with what we're doing in the CrossFit class.
Yeah, and just as an affiliate owner, again, that's something that you can do and make available to your coaches. And I just personally want Jamie, who's doing the programming, I really, I can program some. I've done a program for a master sub program, here and there. I just don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my thing. And so I delegated to Jamie. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to get paid for it, you may as well have your own company and sell mm-hmm. yourself. But it's kind of for us too, as an affiliate owner, I can focus on my members and running really good classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to focus on the programming. I'm willing to pay for really good programming because that allows us to not be distracted, me or any of my coaches be distracted by having a program.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie does both.
Yeah. I enjoy the programming aspect. There's a certain amount. I mean, like anybody that writes programming that really cares will put so many layers into it. And, it's a form of art.
Programming is AI. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Is that AI or A1?
I don't know. I think it's A1.
I think it's A1.
Yeah, it's a 1. That's not an I. Thank you, Jay.
AI program.
I refuse.
So the separation from your other partners, how did that go to come over to the Outlook? How was that whole process?
Closing down to come over wasn't really too big of an issue. Like I said, we all kind of had our own thoughts as far as where we would want to take the business and the direction that we wanted to do. And the two of them were, one of them was a life insurance guy, and he brought in the other guy to help also sell life insurance. And it was pretty clear that was kind of their focus. And that was one of the things, like when we're talking about a big build out for another facility, and it's like, okay, if we're going to go do that, like I need to know whether you guys are on the same page with me with this business, not that business. Like, I understand you want to maybe try to, maybe pull some clients or something that into, like, it was almost like they were trying to create a pool that they can use as a lead generator.
When you start CrossFit, you get excited about it, you see people's love for it, you get big classes and people are excited about it. When you're new to CrossFit or new to owning a small business, you think, oh my God, this could be huge.
Mm-hmm.
If only I had a bigger space.
Yeah.
If only I had, all kind of the sauna and a cold plunge.
Yeah.
And all these other services. And, you know, we can have a coffee bar.
Oh, there's treadmill. Like,
yeah.
Assault runners.
Yeah, assault runners. We've had all of those aspirations.
Yeah.
If I had all of that money back that I've wasted on some of those ventures,
yeah.
I'd have a lot of money. I could probably do some of the stuff that I want to do now that's actually more beneficial
to the business.
Members.
Yeah.
And I guess that my cautionary advice is focus on the people in the room.
Yeah.
Focus on the people in the room and make the experience better for them. Don't, you know, spending money or investing for a bigger location and, you know, all the other additional services, all the cool things you could be doing, that is focusing on the people that aren't in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that, man, that is a fickle group of people that you have no idea how they're going to respond to.
Yeah.
You think you might know how they'll respond to adding a coffee bar, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing protein shakes. Or you think you might know, and the reality is, you know, your customers right in front of you will tell you what they
want. Yeah.
And then they'll make the referrals to your business. And it is a slow growth business as well. It's not a... You know, we have spurts where it goes pretty fast.
For record, or for reference, Jay hates the assault bikes.
we didn't have assault echo bikes, we'd have even more money. Yeah. And you know, it's there's a coach here that, Coach Andrew, that, that said it was done a long, long, long time ago. You can spend $1,000 on something. You just remember, you can get a row for $1,000.
Yeah.
You can spend $10,000 to expand and grow. You can get 10 rows.
Yeah.
And that kind of tells you how to think. Like, the 10 rowers would be the better investment.
Yeah.
Providing for your existing customers. Because what it'll do is it'll keep those customers engaged. You get more variety for programming. You can do more things for them. They appreciate the money's being spent on them. And then what do they do?
A couple of people. Yeah.
Just building a nicer room or a bigger room or Olympic lifting platform that you didn't, you know, really maybe need.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on what you can provide your existing customers is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just kind of got to a point where I think we were all on the same page. So when we did end up closing up shop and close up the doors, we just went our own separate ways.
And the customers followed you.
And customers followed me.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a pretty good turnout.
Right.
Which was, I was super grateful to see, because at the same time, you know, like, as we're going through all of this, all I'm thinking in the back of my mind is like, what about my members? What are they going to end up doing? You know, they like our program. They like coaching. They like the coaching that I'm giving them. And, I don't want to see them go back to Close Fort and just kind of go through the motions again. But, you know, when they came over here, I was grateful that they had space to come back to and continue doing what we've been training for the last year.
Is another, I think, lesson for affiliates too to think about is this is a people business.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a people business.
Yeah.
Orange Theory and F45, not as much. Those are
call that entertainment. Yeah.
Extertainment.
You're
going to have a lot of churn.
Yeah.
Right? And you're bringing bodies in. It's just a different model. And I'm not knocking the models because I think they do really good things. And if you're getting people in and they're getting people moving, they're fighting the same fight that we're fighting. But it's a different model. You're spending a lot of money on marketing. You're making the place fancy. You're trying to get people through in and out as fast as possible. Remember SoulCycle? I was blown away when I saw some of SoulCycle's numbers for individual studios and what they would do. People pay $34 to $45 a class
just for sit on.
And they put 50 people in class.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh man, what a great model that is. But there's no connection, and it's okay if that's your model. Like, they plan on doing a lot of marketing and then letting the customers decide when they want to come, how they want to come, and we develop more of a relationship where we get to know our customers. We build relationships with them, and as a result, the nice benefit that comes from that, that makes it really intriguing as an owner to create longevity for owners, is we build relationships that lead to a community.
Yep.
These become our friends. These are like-minded people. And that's different than the Orange Theories and the F45 and the franchise model, where there's no real connection with the owners.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFit gyms, I tell people, and Yvonne and I say this a lot, it's like a church.
Yeah.
And the owner's the pastor. If you're not there, the congregation goes to hell. And you got to market. Whereas here, it's, you know, we take care of the customers and the customers do the marketing for us.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure your website looks good so that when people do go and they look and make sure your gym's clean. But coming back to the investment, your first investment should be in people. Mm-hmm. And finding really good people. And yeah. I think about the coach that we have here. For example, Jamie Lee. Doing a deal with Jamie Lee, we could have instead maybe expanded the space. We could have bought more equipment. But instead, you know, Diablo said, look, this is a chance for us to get someone who's a really good athlete and clearly knows how to run an affiliate, can manage an affiliate, and then has relationships with a large group of customers. This is the kind of person that we need in this organization. And then that investment is yielded huge benefits for this community. We are where we are today as a result of Jamie's programming, the relationships, his coaching, all of those things. So as an affiliate owner, you think about those things, find really good people. Mm-hmm. Develop really good relationships with them, take good care of them, and that will yield in a CrossFit affiliate, it'll yield tremendous benefits long term.
Yeah.
Tremendous benefits. And then again, you're in it, now you got, you know, lifelong friends as well.
Yeah.
Which is it's one of the nice benefits. And it makes it really interesting for the owners to
sit back and watch everybody.
Yeah. And then sit back and watch, but kind of like a reason to come in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I get out of my car in the morning in the parking lot and I'm walking in here, I'm kind of excited as to who I'm going to see when I walk in the door.
Yeah.
And it takes me 15 minutes to go, 100 feet to my office because I run into so many people that, say hello to, hi to, what a great place to work.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I think the lesson taken from that. So Burn now, what's interesting is, can you pull up CrossFit Burn lives?
Yeah. Yeah, there's another CrossFit Burn that swooped in.
Yeah. We pull them up on, you got them?
Yeah, I'll pull them up.
This is interesting. You probably don't know. They don't
I was the original. I was the original.
They got not a bad logo.
No, and I want to say this popped up. I wonder if there's, I'm sorry. I thought it was share already.
I do like about their name is they're in Bern, BERN, Idaho, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So New Bern's. Oh yeah. So New Bern.
New
Bern is the town.
That's a trip.
Yeah. New Bern's and is CrossFit Burn, and they spell CrossFit Burn BURN.
That's a trip.
Their town's name is New Bern, which is with BERN. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I wonder if they have like a when they started.
Their logo is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Do they have an about anywhere?
Opening hours, contact.
They got other reviews on there, don't they? They got a good website.
Yeah.
Let me see. Go all the way up to the top of the website. This is just a lesson. What is it? What's at the top of that camera?
You got a home, schedule registration, okay. coaching staff.
No, contact us. That needs to be at the top, gym owners.
Right.
Get down to the bottom. Okay.
So you have contact at the bottom.
Right. But I would highly encourage owners to put a contact button at the very top. It just links to where to contact them. And zoom out on that map. I want to see what town that is. Keep going. Where are we? That looks like a lake.
Is this not in Idaho?
North Carolina.
I was like looking for something like a Boise or something. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. North Carolina. Beautiful North Carolina.
Yeah. I want to say these guys maybe affiliated a year or two afterwards, because I remember I went and looked up if that URL was still alive. And
right.
It was already swooped up by another affiliate.
Yeah, that's cool. They got a lot of good reviews.
Yeah. It's because they got a good name.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, so it's... And their website is great. It's easy to get to. They got drop in today. Ain't drop in today.
You gotta let people just drop in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, some people do that. I'm not gonna.
Well, that's what we did.
Yeah, you know, when we got started, we to anybody that wanted.
It was just like, come on in.
We figured out how to do it. We figured out how to do it.
I had gone around. Actually, I had somebody from the East Bay Mud come by with our banners because I legitimately went out like on one of my lunch breaks and just posted banners and flyers all over. I went that route.
Yeah, we did that. The stuff that Greg Glassman said not to do.
I missed that part in the journal.
He said, don't go off of flyers on cars.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do flyers on cars. I was strategic on like trails because I knew there was active people walking on trails. But then the East Bay Mud like ranger guy came by with some flyers. He's like, yeah, this is a really cool idea, but you can't do that.
Yeah, East Bay Mud is the water district for guys. Yeah, that's funny.
East Bay Mud. It was actually the East Bay Regional Parks.
Yeah. So we got in trouble for that too, putting A-frames out.
You
start that out as a trying to get traffic, you're scared.
Yeah. We also want people to realize where you are. And if you have a gym that's in a light industrial area, like you're not gonna have people looking for a gym in a light industrial area unless they know it's there.
No, so the equivalent today is now, because this wasn't me back in Jimmy and I did, you know, 2010, 2008 and all that. Today it's Google Maps.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that your Google Maps page is, your business page is up to date, relevant, and your coaches, get rid of the old pictures, put new pictures in, because that's what people, they just type gyms near me.
Mm-hmm.
And your gym, if it comes up, they're going to click on the pictures that are on Google Maps. They won't even go to your website yet.
Yeah.
They'll look at those pictures first and they're like, oh, no, look at the app, because Google Maps has your hours.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you like it or not, because they traffic that based upon when people's cell phones ping in the area.
Yeah.
And so they can see the traffic in the gym. Yeah, all the information is on the Google business page. So get that updated.
And then
update your website next. Yeah. So one, Google business page first. Two, update your website and make sure there's good contact information.
Mm-hmm.
Three, update your social media because they're going to go there and they're going to look at your social media and see what's on there. And you don't need a whole bunch of pictures on social media. You just post that once a week.
Cool.
And then the last one is go to CrossFit.com webpage
and update your affiliate.
Because that's starting about CrossFit's doing paid sponsored search.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, Derek and I from CrossFit Battle Lab looked at it yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I about it. And so I did a search for CrossFit and Google, boom, up CrossFit.com. And it said sponsored by.
Nice.
And it's a really nice post. And so we clicked on that and then we went to, you know, his gym to see what his gym looked like on CrossFit.
Yeah.
Google, because you picked gyms near me and Matt Lab showed up because we were over by his gym.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is, but that
means you have to put the work in to set it up.
That, you need to go in and update that. You know, put your coaches on there, put your logo on there, put your pictures in the gym in there, because they're going to go to that and they're going to make a determination in the gym. Oh, this owner doesn't care.
Yeah.
And they're going to think you don't care.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass doing all this stuff. I don't like doing all this. Well, I mean, I kind of like it. But
from a coaching perspective, like, it's like, I just want to coach.
Yeah,
just and that's where coach. That's where a lot of coaches are. It's like, I just want to train people.
Right. Well, I've always said that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's
the things, the qualities that make someone a great coach are that
we talked about this with James at Trial Built.
Don't make them good business owners. Yeah. There's an inherent conflict right there.
Yeah.
The best coaches aren't necessarily the best owners because just the minutia stuff you have to deal with, the operational stuff, the money stuff.
It's not always the case, but it is.
And that's how people get started. They get started as coaches first and they're people persons.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the OGs, that's how they are. Anyway. All right, well, we've gone pretty far on CrossFit Burn. Hope you got a good education on CrossFit. Anything else you wanted to add on CrossFit Burn? I forgot to tell people, Jamie's members here. They're known as burnouts or burn victims.
I love seeing them, and anytime we chat about it, it's always fun to just kind of reminisce on the old days.
It really is. It's cool.
Yeah.
And they're passionate about their history and where they came from. That which is another cool thing about CrossFit.
Like
they're proud to be CrossFit Burn.
Yeah. We had a couple of affiliates that opened up outside of that.
We need to, we should do. Why haven't we done a nostalgia t-shirt, CrossFit Burn shirt?
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
That would be cool.
All right, we're doing it. See, we got the heat press now. Get a heat press by the way, your affiliate on.
Start making shirts.
It's the easiest way to put it. Like, I got a big ass chin, and
actually,
my daughter makes the shirts that we hang in our lobby.
Check this out. Actually, I have a picture.
And she did all. So we got a heat press at home, and my daughter makes the shirts. We buy the shirts wholesale. She put stamps the logos on them, and then we always keep a handful of shirts online that people buy, and we change the logos often because we screw around with the designs.
So we when we first started this, my brother was messing around with screen printing, and this was one of the shirts that we made, the CrossFit Burn right here. The girl, you can't really see the girls on there just because of the picture is so old. But look at the background.
Oh, that's a Diablo.
Yeah, this was the barbells for boobs.
Oh, that's
when we did Grace. We had a whole team come out and throw down. But that CrossFit Burn, that little the guy with the holding a barbell with weights on fire, that was actually a picture of me that my brother converted into a silhouette and then put flames on it. And we printed it with a Udo. Udo is like a play screen printing ink screen printing system. Yeah. So we made shirts with that.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Look at that, man. That's cool. This is so Jamie met his wife here in Diablo. This is clearly before he met her.
These are two members.
Jamie got his arm around two babes. Here at Diablo. That's our old logo that someone, one of our members, painted.
Yeah, that mural behind you, behind us.
She was amazing. She painted the whole thing, and our tagline was "Rise to the Challenge."
So that was before Fit Beyond Expectation.
Yeah, that was before Fit Beyond Expectation.
Okay.
And Rob Barnum, one of the original partners, came up with that. Let me tell you a little bit more about that logo while we got it up.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to know. So that's Mount Diablo in the background, which is a really cool rendition of Mount Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Fog, and I told her when she fit, which is like she shouldn't have taken my advice, but although it was kind of cool. I said, being in doing CrossFit in a workout in a gym is kind of like being in the Coliseum, Gladiator. And I think Gladiator probably just come out. And so she literally painted the walls of a Coliseum. You see,
that's cool.
Yeah, and then she painted all the fans in the stands of the Coliseum.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then so you got Mount Diablo rising above the Roman Coliseum. What is just a weird mix, but people love that.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. If you had input on that, there's no skulls and flames.
We quit t-shirts with skulls and flames.
Oh, it was classic.
Yeah, so anyway, it was good times. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you guys, thanks for being on, Jamie. Thanks for telling the story.
Yeah, thanks for highlighting this.
Yeah, it's cool to go back. It's nice to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
Until next time.
Yeah, cheers, guys.